Climate Smart Glacier Country's Kelly Ordway is with us. Hi.
Hi.
And we have the new guy. Well, he's not so new anymore.
Almost 2 years now.
Yeah. Let's jump right into it. First of all, what is refill, not landfill?
Well, it's a project that creates a network of water refill stations throughout the community to educate both residents and visitors to utilize reusable water containers for coffee and tea as well, instead of using single-use plastic.
Aha. Okay.
So how? What is the source of the refill water? The garden hose or what?
Well, there's a couple different options. Some places like City Hall or Stumptown Ice Den, they have a really nice water refill station. Nelson's Hardware also that you see in the airports. Okay. It's a drinking fountain that also has a place where you specifically put a water bottle that refills very quickly, and a lot of those have filters.
Okay.
Some of them are very simple, like Great Northern Cycle, where they refill for bikers out of the faucet, or Stumptown Art Studio, where there's faucets in the back, so you're getting city water in places like that, yeah. And other places are filtered.
You know, I suspected when I moved here and I saw the obituary page, the huge number of people in their 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
I thought, boy, the water must be good here anyway.
Always so, has been.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. We could drink it right out of the tap and not think anything of it. But, you know, even at Flathead High School, they've got those water fill stations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're really becoming predominant in our Sportsman and Kalispell. When they made their new building, they have one. So they're participating as well.
So it's really cool because all it takes is just, any kind of a permanent plastic bottle.
It really is.
Or metal or whatever you want.
It's a simple switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got, we have Brita, a pitcher at home. We have well water, and then I refill my bottles.
What's the inspiration for this?
Well, personally, my inspiration is simply to live in a respectful and responsible relationship with the natural world and to inspire a conscious, engaged commitment in humanity, to remember that relationship and to live in balance. Mm-hmm. This one specifically, working on this project, I met a woman who went on a trip to Cambodia, and they had this project there. So you can check that out at refillasia.com. But they had a big problem with tourism coming in and using plastic water bottles to know that they had safe drinking water. So they set up a network of water refill stations. Basically, everybody that doesn't have a water bottle already will get one when they come into the country.
Really?
And on the water bottles lists all the water refill stations available locally.
That's Cambodia.
That's in Cambodia, and then it spread so far through Laos, Myanmar, that it's now called, it was called Refill Cambodia, and now it's called Refill Asia. So it's really spreading.
I wonder if they're making these efforts in China, too, with the population that they have over there.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's happening in there.
Hmm. So talk with us about why these plastic bottles are on your list.
I kind of looked up recently, how does plastic relate to our climate change and taking care of our environment? And 99% of our plastic comes from fossil fuels. So currently one of the most inexpensive ways to make plastic is through cracking. So when land is fracked, which is a very toxic process, which really poisons the groundwater, when the land is fracked to produce fossil fuels, ethane gas, which is a greenhouse gas, is produced as a byproduct. So these cracking plants, also known as crackers, convert ethane to ethylene, which is then used to make polyethylene plastic.
Mm.
So,
So you're telling me that we could make more gasoline for our cars if we didn't use so much plastic?
Well, it sounds like it's a byproduct. I don't know
I'm oversimplifying.
Industry. Yeah.
Yeah.
But basically, let's reduce the demand for plastic production by how much we use.
Well, perhaps if you get gallon jugs instead of little bottles.
That would be perhaps a step in the right direction if you refill it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you could use that to fill up your regular plastic bottle, halogen bottles.
Yeah, and then
bottles.
You can refill the gallon bottles at the grocery stores, natural grocers, Safeway.
Okay, so that's just one more way. The time it takes for these plastic bottles to deteriorate in the landfill, it's not a week or two, is it?
Oh, geez.
From the research I hear, it's hundreds of years, and basically it doesn't biodegrade, it just breaks down into microplastics. So it still stays in the environment even when it looks like it goes away.
It's, you know, greenhouse gases, 40% of all U.S. greenhouse gases are generated by the way we produce, consume, and dispose of, you know, products. So when you're dealing with, you know, the refills, the water bottles, mm-hmm. That, you know, a little bit helps each way. And as the program grows, better effect.
Talk with us a little bit about how these plastic bottles relate to climate change.
Well, just what I said about 99% of plastic comes from fossil fuels. So plastic production is projected to triple by 2050, and more than $180 billion has been allocated over the next 10 years to build 263 new fracking facilities along the Gulf Coast and the Mid-Atlantic Northeast region, which are both very vulnerable to the extreme weather patterns that have been shifting with climate change. So, for example, the Chevron Phillips, which reported one of the largest chemical emission spills after Hurricane Harvey, is building a $6 billion ethane processor in the Gulf region. So this is currently how our plastics are being made from the ethane gas. So I recommend we use stainless steel water bottles or glass. We use our, you know, if you buy a juice container or something, you can reuse your glass containers. Mm-hmm. And we have over 20 water refill stations committed in Whitefish right now. So we have the parks. We have like Baker Kitty Park, Depot Park. We've got Great Northern Cycle, City Hall, Chill Clothing, Nelson's Ace Hardware, Mountain Mall. All of the Montana Coffee Traders locations are participating in Kalispell and Columbia Falls as well. Sportsman Ski House in Kalispell, Whitefish Dog Park, Stumptown Ice Den, Whitefish Amtrak Station, and the Whitefish Library as well.
Now, aren't these plastic bottles recyclable?
Many of them are recyclable. Currently in the valley, nobody is able to recycle except for the city of Whitefish, which is accepting number ones and twos only. Mm-hmm. But basically the philosophy is reduce what you use, reuse what you do have is second, and the third is recycle. So recycling really is not very efficient. It is an option, but reusing is really, really a huge priority. So recycling from here, I tried to follow the paper trail of what actually happens. So we drive to town if you are able to recycle in Whitefish, or if surrounding communities are not. Then from here, it gets shipped to Spokane. And I tried to find out what happens when it goes to Spokane. And one facility that I contacted said from there, it then gets freighted to Kentucky and then melted down into plastics that are remade. So it's just there's a lot of energy used even just in the recycling process.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It's definitely a third option.
Okay. So your plan here is to, everybody go get yourself an Algene bottle or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now this is plastic.
That is plastic. I do really recommend stainless steel mm-hmm. drinking containers or glass.
Now this is number two plastic.
Yeah. Yeah. But that works. And, you know, even in the thrift stores, there's tons of reusable drinking containers. Mm-hmm. So it's really a super affordable option that's out there for everyone.
And now, of course, they've got lots of ways you can strap it onto your body, too, so you don't have to carry it.
Yeah, a little camelback.
Yeah, see? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's one way. Or just, you know, it can go on your belt mm-hmm. or something like that
yeah.
on the side of your backpack.
Yeah.
What happened to the old canteens that we had in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts? And they went on your belt, and they were metal,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, or the leather pouches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are perfect.
Yeah, well, mine was a World War II.
Yeah, okay.
We had a lot of those left over from World War II, and we all had carried one on our hip, man. That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Back to, yeah. So it's not a new concept, but it's a concept that needs to come back.
Really, it's really a simple switch. It's a really simple switch of just taking responsibility, putting energy out to participate in restoring harmony in our environment. So keep reusable shopping bags in your car. Keep one in your backpack or on your bike.
Mm-hmm. See, my problem is the recyclable bag, not the recyclable bags, but the shopping bag.
Mm-hmm. Forget to take them in.
Yeah, they stay in the car.
Yeah.
I had a terrible time with that.
You know what? My parents shared something which I thought was a really good insight. The natural grocers that we have in Kalispell now, they right. have them in Arizona where my parents live. And you can't. They don't give plastic bags.
No, they
there.
Don't.
So you can use the boxes that the goods got shipped in, or you can bring your own. Or if they're out of both of those options and you buy one for 99 cents. And my mom said, whenever I go to Natural Grocers, I always remember my bag. When I go to Safeway or another grocery store, I always forget because I don't have to.
Interesting.
So, you know, there's something
training
to that.
Training ourselves.
Maybe. Yeah, there's training ourselves and maybe being forced to. Maybe it shouldn't be an option anymore.
Well, I think the Kroger line of grocery stores nationwide are going to start charging you 5 cents for a plastic bag.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now they give you a
they give
discount.
You a nickel off, yeah, if you bring your own in.
Right.
Yeah. We're doing a little better with that, but you know they still sit out in the car, and I think when I'm going through checkout, and you can't exactly run out to the car and come back.
Exactly.
Now over at Smith's, they've got a sign in the parking lot that says "Remember your shopping bag."
Oh, nice.
I forget to read it before I go in.
I know. We're such creatures of habit, aren't we?
We'd like to learn more about Citizens for a Better Flathead. In particular, you have this Waste Not project going on.
Yeah, Robin, we've had this program going on now for over 20 years, since the 90s. And it's a consumer education program targeted primarily to the school system.
Okay.
Each year, we've educated over 3,500 students. Last year, we had 167 classes on how to recycle and also how to compost. We also produce pamphlets, how to recycle, a fix-it program, as well as what to do with your pharmaceutical waste. It's been a very successful program, and we thought that the next step with Waste Not is to expand it into a Towards Zero Waste initiative.
Okay. Now, how are the young people responding? Does it seem like a natural thing? Are they concerned about the environment?
It's a natural thing. They like to be engaged. They like to be involved. And what's really nice to see is the students who come from their classrooms and they try to integrate the practices that they've learned in their classrooms into the home. Situation.
Yeah. I kind of wondered if it was transplanting to home, because a lot of times when the kids come home, you go, what happened today? Nothing.
Yeah.
they don't. Not real talkative at dinner time. But this would be neat if they would educate the families. What are the goals of the Towards Zero Waste initiative that you're launching?
Well, we're looking to impact the waste stream. One, we're looking to resource recovery, which is what we're working on now, recycling and composting. We're also looking to for maximized resource longevity through reuse, repair, sharing, and durable design. We're also looking to maximize resource efficiency and waste prevention through a number of issues, points, zero waste, producer responsibility, etc. We see the program breaking down into three phases. Phase one, probably within the 1 to 5 year range, where we're looking to increase access to services. Phase two would be building participation in the program. That would pretty much overlap, but we're looking at another 5 to 10 years. And then finally, after 10 years, you've built participation, you have access to services, you have to really take a look at what's left. And that really comes into areas of product design, what's coming into the valley, et cetera. But pretty much what we're looking to do is emphasize, one, recycling efforts, composting efforts, but emphasizing, we need to emphasize the convenience and being in the valley here. We also have to take a look at it, a circular economy. For example, glass. We've looked at, because the glass is so heavy, transporting glass out of the valley is just so cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
So if there are ways that we can learn to not only collect the glass and make sure there's enough glass, but then we can, reuse that glass, recycle it in a way that it can become an aggregate in construction materials, in the valley, et cetera.
So it never leaves the valley.
Exactly.
Back to Kelly's point earlier that we got to transport this stuff. That's, that's an energy waster too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So collaboration with Kelly's project, this kind of has a good fit.
Oh, definitely a good tie-in. We're definitely talking about, that resource longevity where you're reusing and not just necessarily tossing.
I'd read somewhere where some of these materials are being used in paving and in road construction and the like now.
Yes, exactly. In fact, Zanterra up in Columbia Falls, Glacier National Park Lodges have done a composite. I believe they paved one of their properties up there, and they did actually use glass within the in the construction to the cement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's very durable.
Hmm.
Yeah, one of the things that we started doing was not recycling so much, but because it's just about impossible here. But we started composting, and amazed how much garbage. You know, how much stuff doesn't go in the garbage can, how much of it can go in the compost pile?
Right, exactly. Exactly. Now,
the question is getting that compost to work. And I'm not sure we're going to be that successful with it. We've got one of those spinners, compost spinners, and we've got another one of those things, too, because we can't really have an open pit, you know, an open pile, which is the best way to do compost.
Right.
Because you get the air and everything to it. But, you know, learning how to compost, you'll be amazed at how much garbage you don't throw in the trash can.
Yeah, I mean, you could get to a point where, you know, you could have a single stream plastics and containers, mm-hmm. And then when you get to it, and then you have your compost container, then when you really get down to it, your trash container is, you know, maybe about a third of the size it used to be.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we've discovered. Mm. Really something. Wow, yeah. What a great conversation this morning. Oh, you want to jump in?
Well, one cool tie-in with that is in the fall when there's leaf collection, a beautiful way is to use the leaves and brush them under your shrubs, under your trees, and help let the trees re-nourish the plants that they fell from. Right now, most people are collecting their leaves in plastic bags. There are really amazing biodegradable bags available at Ace Hardware. They always have a ton available, and I'd really love to see the community start using those more because people like me that collect the leaves in town for my garden or my orchard, all you have to do is tear the paper bag open, and it all turns back into the earth, the paper, the leaves. But there's a massive amount of plastic bags used for leaf collection alone every fall.
Yeah, that's not – yeah, you know what? Yeah. Got to remember that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, you guys, thanks so much. And how can we get involved?
Well, you can contact me through info@climatesmartglaciercountry.org. I'd love to see people use the water refill stations, spread the word, and I'd really love to have a couple collaborators, too. I've been live in Whitefish, and I've been focusing on that area, and I have two small children that we nurture in our family as well. But I'd love to see some people step up in Columbia Falls and Kalispell to help spread this throughout the valley and beyond.
Okay. And Richard?
And you can contact Citizens for Better Flathead. Actually, recycling is one of our biggest calls that come into the office. Flatheadcitizens.org, wastenotproject.org, and then just give us a call.
Kelly Ordway and Richard Terbiak, thank you so much for a great conversation this morning.